Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this latest live episode of Vox Vomitus. I am your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, as well as Pretty Ugly and the Japanese Box and Other Stories. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, my co-hostess with the mostest, Allison Martin, author of The Bourbon Books, which includes Dibs Since September, Move On Melinda, and Climb the Salmon Ladder. Every time I introduce you, I just feel like it's a good lung exercise if I can say all of your titles without taking a breath. I know I can't say all of my titles without taking a breath because my titles are abnormally long. So joining us today, all the way from the UK, are you in Nottingham, Frances? Is that true?
Yes, and it is a real place. Yeah,
I thought it was a new real place. But joining us today from the UK, Frances White, we are here to celebrate her debut novel, which was just released last week, Voyage of the Damned, which combines fantasy and one of my favorite subjects to read about, murder. So Frances, tell our viewers and our listeners a little bit about yourself while Allison and I distract you with props in the background, which I swear viewers watching this live
will make sense.
Yeah, it's not just about a zoo, I swear.
It's no work.
It's like, I was thinking it's like Life of Pi. Like it's a zoo on a boat.
So my name is Frances White. I'm the author of Voyage of the Damned, which is, yeah, like a magical murder mystery at sea. And I have mine as well. I've got my Goldsborough one, which is...
Ooh, show me the side. Ooh, I love that. See, I have just my regular so far, so I'm just like, when's my fancy coming?
I did not plan appropriately to get something shipped from the UK in time. I was like, I'll just get the Kindle version and at least hold up my Kindle. And I was like, no, it's not available. But we were thrilled to get an advance e-arc.
Yeah. I did what I could. It's harder the US ones, but if you are in the US, you can get it, but you have to get the physical one at the moment.
Yes.
Like this, see?
That's like,
and yeah. Khan is already interrupting. Hello, Khan, to say congrats on bestseller status, Frances. And okay, Elisa is also saying congratulations, and she loves the cover art. And of course, Abby is saying, I've got the Pretty Waterstones edition. So you've got, which one do you have, Frances?
Oh my God.
This is the Goldsborough one that's got like the scales on the edge.
I love the scales. And that's what I'm wearing.
I think Abigail has one that has the fish on the side, like actual fish.
I don't have that one yet.
You don't even have a whole collection of your own special editions. It's too much. Can you tell us about this fabulous book while we just all hold it around? Because otherwise we'll just talk about the prettiness.
Right. And I'll just hold, I'll hold this.
Animals.
Sure. So yeah. So I sum up Voyage of the Damned as magical day. Murder mystery cruise. That's usually enough to convince people, but I'll probably say more. So it's set in an empire called Concordia, which is made up of 12 individual and sort of vastly different provinces. And to celebrate 1,000 years of peace in the empire, the 12 heirs to the provinces.
Peace. I was going to say, like,
peace.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, the 12 heirs to these provinces, who are known as the Blessed, embark on a 12-day voyage at sea to a sacred mountain. So,
and this is not a carnival cruise, people. This is...
It seems to be at the offset. There's a costume party and everything.
Costume parties. There's costumes. Where's your dragon, Jen? Where's your little dragon butler? Is it bringing me treats?
Yes.
It's bringing me an energy drink. It's there bringing you go. Your drink.
Thank you, dumpling. I shouldn't say dumpling too loud because the real dumpling will be summoned. The dragon butler or the server butler. What were they called again?
They're servers. Yeah,
servers. I know. I was just like, wait, no, that's at Applebee's.
No, it's not at Applebee's.
So if people are wondering, there is a costume party that we just mentioned at the beginning of the book, which is why I am wearing a blue sequin. You can't tell it is a dress, but it just looks like a shiny, I'm going to pretend it has like armor on it. And again, read the book and it will make sense why I'm wearing an itchy dress sitting here on the book.
I tried getting in this and it's a size 2. And guess who isn't a size 2? Yeah, I'm lucky I got out of it in time for the show. I was going to have to like call 911 and say, help, I'm stuck in a dress. And I got out, but just barely. So this is a lot stretchier because...
I'm telling you, you could wear it as a shawl, though.
Yeah, seriously. Like the main character, I like to eat. And I have a pudgy tummy that my kids like to poke at. So it's like, there's some chubby rep, you know, and I'm bringing it today and not wearing that.
I love the chubby rep. I'm like main character who might have a little bit more padding than your typical main character in a book. Love that. And I just want to say for me personally, thank you so much for all the queer representation, especially bisexual representation, which everyone who watches our show, who knows me, knows me, knows that I'm bi. And I always love when bisexuality is represented in a very fair and real way and not like, oh, I was bi until I met someone and now I'm really gay or I'm really straight. Right. Yeah. So thank you for no bisexual erasure.
I personally.
Oh, no, they're basically, well, they're almost all queer in some way. And I think most of them are bi, to be honest.
Well, yes. And isn't there some of the issue? So the reason like they're on this thing, this magical cruise, is they're all the blessed. And to pass on the blessing, it's genetic. So they're like, you can do what you want with whoever you want, but procreating is kind of like set aside. So things that can't cause procreation is like, oh, that's fine. Do whatever. And that's a lot of that represented. Maybe not graphically. So don't be like worried about like, how much is in this book? There's lots of murder. That's about it. There's not a lot of like, oh dear. Oh, cover the 6-year-old's eyes.
Yeah, there's a lot of murder. There's a lot of awesome snarkiness and banter. And this also gave me like Umbrella Academy vibes in a good way, where it's like this kind of family that's all come forced together under circumstances that they may or may not wish to be, and they may or may not get along. And
most of them know.
Most of them definitely don't.
They have a lot of history between them, basically.
1,000 years.
And well, they're not 1,000 years.
Most of them are all young and attractive. Some of them are entirely too young. Like, literally, one of them is a 6-year-old. Hence me saying, cover the 6-year-old's eyes and don't let her see half of what's happening here, because that part's inappropriate for a 6-year-old.
Luckily, she was also too busy snacking to realize.
Oh, that's true. I personally like the fact that everything's divided for her into either to love or to eat. Like, that's me. Like, I'm gonna eat that.
That's how I categorize the world. So,
That's a good way of doing it. It's a good way of doing it. So, Frances, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because we are just petting your book, but tell us a little bit about you. And we'll get into how we got to this one, because this was not the first book you wrote. It's the name of the first book of yours I got to read, but it's the first one to see the whole world.
Oh, you want the journey story?
Well, let's start with you. We'll get to the journey first.
Yeah. I'm not that interesting.
Yes, you are. Hey, look, first off, you're wearing a dress covered in books. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed that you're not in one of your cosplay characters. I'm just going to say, if people look in your Instagram, they'll probably have a hard time finding you because you're usually in disguise. Like, oh, that's Eddie Munson. Oh, no, that's still Frances.
Yeah.
Well, now I feel like we have to do another show with Frances in the future. a cosplay show, the way we did the Twin Peaks show with Josh Mallerman, where we just wore costumes. Mm-hmm. And then
that would make me so happy.
And then please, had some like cocktails. You don't need to be the log lady. You can be anything you want. It won't be enough. We can just cosplay as whatever. Have some snacky snacks, some drinky drinks. Snacks.
I'm trying to make a cosplay, so maybe ask me in a year and then it might be done.
Do you want me to send you like pieces of this? Because I can't do it. Okay. Abby wants to cosplay as Dumpling. Do you mean Frances's cat or Dragon Dumpling? They're both called Dumpling.
A dumpling, as in it's a dumpling.
Or the,
this yeah. might mean the food. We don't know.
Abigail, I feel like I would like to cosplay as the food.
I'm just going to cosplay as one snacking. So, yes. Frances, you're from, okay, no, she says an actual dumpling. Okay. So, Frances, you are from the UK. Whereabouts? And we've had this conversation many times because I still think the place you are from is not real. But you say it is, and I have mailed packages, so I guess they got to you?
Yeah, yeah. I'm from Nottingham, originally from Leicester, which you've probably never heard of.
I have. Yeah, okay. We watch the Great British Baking Show. We're not monsters. There's been plenty of people from Leicester. And also, I feel like I went through a huge historical fiction phase where I read like every Patricia Gregory book out there. And I'm sure there was like an Earl of Leicester, a Duke of Leicester, Duke, and some sordid inappropriateness there.
Maybe, probably.
Probably. Otherwise, it sounds boring if there's nothing inappropriate going on.
Otherwise, then it's just history.
We love history.
I was going to say, Frances is a history. You have a history background because when we were talking about Shakespeare, you're like, he was one person and he was working class. So don't come at Frances about Shakespeare because she
won't. Oh, no. I was so excited that there was a Cordelia and a Lysander.
You got the reference.
I know. I'm like, yes.
Everyone from Tortoise, I name after Shakespeare characters. And there's only two names in the book from there. But if I had any others to name, I would have named them.
Oh, my God. No, I was just like, really like, okay, where are the rest of the Shakespeare references?
A little geeky says, congratulations on the bestseller, Frances. Loving Voyage of the Damned. We all. I had to read it twice now, and I'm just going to say, like, I want to hear more about you, then we'll get back into this book, because seriously, I want to know in what part of your house, and you've moved houses, so it wouldn't even be there now, did you have your murder chart to be able to, like, have all the lines to go, this is where this person was, and this is where that person was, and I think I requested when I was reading the first one, like, I need a diagram of the ship to know where everybody is, and you're like, well, there's a wall there, and I'm going, I can't visualize this, help me, this is complicated, I'm not smart enough, I'm just a stupid fish, I can't do it, help me.
I didn't have a big enough wall to do it. I mean, I had like, you know, a beat sheet on a wall, but all that stuff was all digital. That was all on spreadsheets and things.
Spreadsheets.
So many spreadsheets.
We wanted like yarn.
That's pretty much what this book was built on.
Yeah, I wanted an entire wall with yarn and like hand drawn rooms and
that
everything.
Would be
like
amazing.
That. Yeah.
But also, I was renting, so I probably would have.
Oh, then you would have lost the security deposit. All right, so Frances, you are a cosplayer by hobby, not by trade. You live in Nottingham, which is not fictional. So you have a cat named Dumpling. Which dumpling came first, character dumpling or cat dumpling?
Character dumpling came first. I don't know if that's more embarrassing or less, but I got my cat like...
Sort of when I moved
to celebrate the book, and then I was like, well, I can't just call him D because that's a bit too embarrassing.
Hey, I'm so glad you didn't call the cat Pissfish, because that's just rude. He would have just been like, hey, Pissfish.
Calling that out of the vet would have been very awkward, but although when they call that Dumpling, everybody laughs anyway, so I haven't really avoided it.
Dumpling is a really cute name. And this is coming from somebody whose dog is named Lord Tubby.
I just look at it's Lord Tubby, and then it's like, are you like, it's not Tubbington? No, just Tubby.
Just Tubby. So yeah, that's another thing when we go to the vet, when they call out his name, everybody laughs, the entire waiting room. And we're like, our job is done.
We've entertained you. We're good. But Frances, so you've been writing though for a while. This is not your first attempt at getting a book start to finish, and it wasn't your first book that went on submission or any of that. No. Tell us a little bit about your writing journey to get here. Maybe not the publishing journey, but maybe we can get into that if we want.
I'm like,
she's struggling with the PTSD probably from the publishing journey, as everyone is.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's my fifth book that I wrote, and all the rest were fantasy, but like the first in a series. This is my first standalone, apart from my very first one, which was a historical, and it was 250,000 words long. So
I mean, I think that's where the history major in you maybe needed to be reined back in just a touch. Because for people who are like watching and going, I don't know what that means. Most books, okay, sci-fi and fantasy range from about 90 to maybe 130, maybe 150. And yeah, there are chonkers, but we're talking that's like venturing into the Stand territory at that length.
Yeah.
Maybe not for a debut.
250. Yeah, that's a tricky debut. How did you get from I'm writing historical fiction to I'm going to write fantasy series?
So I started writing the historical one when I was at uni because I studied English literature and creative writing. And I started it there and I got into it. So I sort of wanted to finish it. But I always knew that it would be fantasy that I would write because that was like my first love is fantasy. It's where I wanted to be working in. I might go back to history one day. I'd like to do it, maybe. Dip my toe back in, but fantasy was always going to be the one. That's why with my first book, I did query it, but I didn't query it hard. I queried it because everyone was like, well, you've written a book. Obviously, you want it published. And I kind of like, do it. Yeah, I only wrote so I could prove myself that I could write a book. So that was its main purpose. But I did query it to like 20 agents or something. So but I didn't really try very hard with it because I wasn't that motivated. But the other ones were where I, you know, went big.
Pushed hard. Well, and I was going to say, I've heard different stuff from different people. 20 agents is not a lot. So if you're doing 20 and going, I'm going to stop here, that's like you barely tipped your toe in the query pool.
I always laugh when I hear from like a newer author who they're like, I queried so many agents. I sent out 6 and heard nothing back. And I'm like, 6 a day? And they're like, no, total. And I'm like,
I know your
poor beautiful child. Sweet soul.
Yes.
Oh my god, you're
I counted up about how many it took. Over the 5 books it was 200 queries, which I actually don't even think is that much.
That's not bad.
Not over
5 books.
It would be 4 books because I was signed with my 4th one and then this one is the one that sold because that one didn't sell us up.
So you got your agent on your 4th.
Yeah.
Your 4th book, your 4th fantasy book, or your 4th book in general? Are we counting the historical fiction?
Yeah, we're counting it.
Yeah, you have to.
Because okay, so that was the first one of yours I read, and we were joking about titles. I promise, Jennifer, you will not have to take out your earphones for this title. None of them are bad. But we never really called the books by their names. Like that one went through so many names that I'd be like, what did we just call it Argy because it had like so many different names. But I think I read it first as like Rhapsody in Steel or something.
Oh god, yeah, I forgot it was called
that. Oh, that's a cool name.
It was, but it didn't necessarily connect to what was happening. And then they were trying to find other names, and then it was like the blood of the gargoyle, and they're like, no French, Francis. You're like, it's French inspired, but they're like, we don't want the French stuff. And I think maybe that's just like a British thing that they're like, we don't
And I feel like look, I'm gonna be honest, that would be too smart for Americans. We would be like, blood of the gargoyle.
What? Like, is this about the gargoyles that show on Disney? With
right, them. Like and I don't know how to say
nothing
it.
To do with that.
Yeah,
but it was a hot book, and I loved it. And I remember like just enjoying it so much. But you workshopped the hell out of that thing, and got your agent from that. So it's like, okay, there you go. And you even got an R&R request for that one. We aren't going to talk about that because that still makes me a little angry, but that's fine. Because only because they wanted you to change so much about the book. But it's like, what exactly did you like in this book? Because you seem to want to change all of it.
It was essentially like I faced a situation where it was either do that rewrite, which would take probably about, I'm not even joking, probably about 5 or 6 months. It was essentially rewriting the entire book from the bottom up. Or, because I was writing Voyage at the time and I was sort of into it, I was like, should I go for this one that doesn't have any interest or is a risk? Or should I go with this one which has an editor on a call to me telling me, you know, to do it? But I just went with my heart. And that's what Voyage
and that was.
I was more excited about it, so.
It was the right choice, absolutely, partially because, I mean, I'm not gonna say that how they wanted you to change your book wouldn't have made an interesting book, but it was like, so this isn't the book you're buying, though, because the book that I read and that I loved, they're like wanted to strip so much of that away. So it's like, who's gonna buy this book? So,
well, you know. As somebody who went through kind of a similar situation,
Go on. I'll just drink my drink over here.
Yeah. No. I think a lot of times, like, so what I heard during my process of, oh, it's going to turn into a completely different book that ended up still not selling. But what I heard from the original editor who loved it, and she still loved and still loves my original idea, and was like, what? I don't agree with all these changes. But, you know, and you always hear it. People get signed on their voice. Like, the voice is so good that they think, oh, I can just take that amazing voice and jam it into a cookie cutter and it'll still somehow be amazing. And like, as authors, we're like, oh, my voice was only that great because it was like the book of my heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the words that voice was saying. Those kind of matter too.
Yeah.
But I do know that at the time, like when you got the info for, hey, they would like to maybe have you rewrite this whole thing, you were nearly done with this. And we're like, let's just push forward with this. And I'm glad you did, because not that I wouldn't have wanted to see that one hit the shelves. I don't even know what book that would have been if it did. And this one is like a bestseller. All these,
I was going to say, this one debuted at number 2 and has how many special editions?
I lost track.
I couldn't possibly say.
There's like, incredible.
There's multiple special editions, and
there was at least two.
I don't know how to do like engineering stuff, but I wanted Francis to have a bookshelf that flips around so you can see the pretty pages, you know, like do that and then spin around. And then she told me that was physically impossible because it would like hit the wall. And I don't really know how those things work. I don't have that kind of brain, but.
You need something like an old school comic book spinner rack that's clear, except for on the bottom and top.
Jennifer used to run a comic book store, so she's actually
Sorry, I'm like, yes. but
then I'm just stacking them sort of like this, and then the next one here, so you can kind of see the edge, sort of like that on the shelf.
Oh yeah, I like that. Do that. Well, and we love this book, and like, I'm not smart to figure out how to display all of them. I'm barely smart enough to follow everything that happens in this book. And we were talking beforehand about how to talk about this book that has so many twists and turns without spoiling any of the twists and turns. And we just obviously set it on really bad props for all the animals involved instead of like trying to cover it. Because so we have these people who have these magical powers on a big, and Jennifer's posing with her crow and her lion.
We're going to pretend it's a lion tiger.
I'm just going to paint stripes. I've stretched my face right now from the light coming in. Don't mind me.
And my butterfly.
I love that.
I love that. Is that Bancha? Hi, Bancha.
Little Bancha.
Hello.
See, this is why my dog would not be able to be in the room with me right now. Because if he saw me with all of his toys.
You have all my toys. How dare you, Mommy? You're mean to me, taking my toys. Okay, but I have this nice advantage that I was literally like one of the first people on the planet to get to read this book, which I will never shut up about. Like, I was at the library yesterday.
You're the first one to finish it.
Take the book. I wouldn't let them have my copy, but I'm like, here's all the information you need to order it. And yes, there are several others with this same. So if it's a very sad historical novel about the Holocaust, that's the wrong one. Keep clicking till you find this one. But it helps that I got to read it again, because again, you did it all digitally, but there are so many twists and turns and figure out where people are and what they're doing that it really is. I compare it to Clue, which in the UK you guys call it Cluedo.
Cluedo, yeah.
Cluedo.
Why is it
the board game?
It's like
we don't have the dough in here. It's just Clue.
And like
I don't know why that is. That's so random.
It's so weird. It's just one of those things, like I remember talking to Abigail about what Jell-O versus jelly is, and we still can't come to an agreement.
Yeah.
Like, gelatin is Jell-O. She's like, that's jelly. I'm like, nope, that goes on toast. She's like, that's jam. I'm like, I give up. This is confusing. but again, like, it's, you can follow it as you're reading it, because it's not like, oh, this is all over your head. But I didn't remember so much of this from 2 years ago, because there's so many details and no character is superfluous, no matter when they die, because a lot of them die. There's
a lot of murders, a lot of bodies
stacked up. But because it is like Clue, because it's not just what weapon they use, but it's like, how did their blessing impact the murder, because it's not like, oh, they're magical and then some of them die, but like how that is works into the plot. And I can't, I can't say more than that.
Yeah, we can't say too much more, but it's also interesting that people keep their blessings kind of close to the chest. So you don't exactly know what people are going into this murder cruise.
Yeah. It's with. Like seen as a very like a bad thing to ask somebody what their blessing is. I think I'd compare it to like asking somebody their bra size or whatever it is.
Or like their weight.
Yeah, weight. It's like, really rude, and he does it a couple of times, so they're just like, yeah, I kind of like, I like mysteries upon mysteries, because then even if you know one thing, you don't know the other thing, and like, you know.
Yes, there was a lot of layers. And like, I love a good like locked door mystery. And this also gave me such vibes like Agatha Christie. And then there was one.
Good Murder on the Nile, because we're on a boat.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no,
So did reading mysteries play into this? Are you, because I know you said you always wanted to write fantasy. Are you a mystery lover as well?
I'm definitely a bit of a murder mystery obsessive. Like, including, like, you know, the real life documentaries and stuff.
Same.
I don't know if it's good to say that now, but I've always.
Oh,
like,
no, you're in good company.
I've been morbid curiosity with them. So, that and murder mysteries in general since I was a kid. That's going to sound weird, but me and my sister used to play murder mysteries.
Oh, no, so did I.
How do you play murder mystery? Okay, Jennifer, like you're the only child, so how did you do that?
Oh, my mom babysat kids.
Okay, I was going to say, like, you can't do it by yourself. Okay, so your sister Frances, how did you guys do that?
She would, like, set up a crime scene or something. Then she'd be like, oh, there's mud near the body, and she'd put mud down. Then I would have to interview her as the different characters.
I love it. You're like your own personal CSI over there. Yeah. Like, hold on. And where did this stuff come from? She's like, sniffing.
When I did try to play this by myself, I would set up a crime scene and I would make my mother stumble upon it. And then I would just ask her questions like, what did you notice? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, it made no sense, but I've said, so Allison, when I was reading this book, I binged it in 2 days. And she was like, how are you liking it? And I was like, I love the murder.
I'm like, no shock.
I'm just like.
You specifically said, her voice, like, and the wit and the murder. I'm like, well, yeah, that's why this book just works, because rarely do you read, like, we read a lot of mysteries and thrillers for this show, but you so rarely get this combination where you have the funny and just the real emotional depth that you get with these characters and then murder. Like, you usually have to pick one. Like, you get one or the other. This is one of the rare where you get both, and you've got people who are making jokes about, like, turning somebody's name from Leo Frick into Leo Prick, because D has the emotional maturity of a 7-year-old.
I love D.
I do too, but again, not necessarily, like, defensive mechanisms are humor and food. The two things together are basically, and I'm like, oh, I relate. That's exactly me.
And thinking sexy thoughts about whoever you're talking to. Even if you're like, oh my God, why do I enjoy that person was just mean to me? What does that say about me?
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't know, Dee, but I felt the same way when they said that to you. I was like, oh my God, I want to see somebody strangle D, but like in a sexy way. And then I'm like, why do I want that? Okay.
Well, that and the whole like D sexuality is like really skinny, soft men, and then women who look like they want to beat him up. Like, those are his choices.
You could break him, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he likes a strong woman.
Yeah. I was like, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Or dress him down verbally. Like, she has to have that strength either physically to pin him down or to just make him feel that he's big inside. Either
I wanted to set that out in, like, I think it must be on the very first page when he sees
the twins. Yes.
And, like, the boy is, like, smiling at him sweetly and he's got flowers in his hair and the girl's, like, got a hot dog and she's so mad she squeezes it at the spot and shoots at him. And she's like, I hate you. And he's like, oh, I like both these things.
I loved that. Immediately, that's when I was like, I'm going to enjoy this book very much.
I like because I like an idea what to expect. Because then, if they're not into that by the first chapter, it's like, well, you probably
they know, like, oh, maybe this isn't going to be the book for me. Well, yeah, I felt like D. Oh, Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, we call this like the D test. Like, if you relate to D, you are going to love this book. But if you're like, I find him obnoxious and horrible, yeah, then you're dead inside. And there's no hope for you. Sorry.
I feel like D's movie boyfriend is Timothée Chalamet. And his movie girlfriend is the woman who, I can't remember her name. She was in Game of Thrones. She played...
Oh, Brienne of Tarth?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I can't remember her real name either. I was actually, we just finished watching Echo, and I was going to say Alacqua Cox, who plays Echo, who would just like beat the living daylights out of him without blinking. He'd be like, yeah, that's, yeah. I'm here for that.
Like, that's good. No, yeah. no kink shaming in this book.
Andre says his girlfriend falls asleep to Forensic Files, so she gets those lovely, you know, serial killer dreams.
As you do. I love that I was like, oh, my mom babysat kids. That's how I didn't play by myself. And Andre is actually one of the people my mom babysat.
Oh, did he?
Andre, yeah.
You remember these kind of things.
Maybe I don't think, I know Andre didn't play like murder with me. I used to make, and she's probably not watching, Little Missy play murder with me. But I feel like now Andre should have played murder with me because I think he and I are probably get this on a different level now.
This explains so much, says Andre. Yeah, he knows. He knows. And yeah, and little geeky says D has that chaotic bi energy, which I am adoring. He is, even if he weren't bi, like say like he had zero sexuality or sexuality weren't in here, he is chaos breathing. And just even his wardrobe choices reflect like, how can I bring a little bit of chaos to everything I do?
Just to, I know, wear an outfit that's gonna piss everyone off. Yes. For specific reasons, and again, we don't want to go into too much depth of
too much.
Because it's always, he's just such a fun character, and I loved, now I can't remember because again, I read it in 2 days, he just like this alliteration he had for his Detective D's
diagram of deduction.
Diagram
of deduction. Yeah, and that was another moment that I was like, I love a good alliteration. So.
Well, that, and it really did help. Like I said, you have all these different pieces, but then you break it down with the characters as he's going through trying to figure stuff out and like who they are, what their blessing is, what their motive is, likelihood of killer. And it's like, for one of them, he's like, likelihood of killer, adorableness. Like, that's not helpful, D. Like, you don't need to say at one point when you're doing your murder mystery.
And I liked he had like, you know, this like, rating system of like 3 out of 5, 4 out of everybody else was like, that doesn't even make sense. He's like, I don't care.
Yeah,
it's my, like my diagram.
Yeah, it's basically like the points on whose line it is. Is it anyway? Where it's like the points are irrelevant. 1,000 points to everyone, and it's like 1,000 points to Gryffindor. It's like, who's assigning these points? Well, I am. I'm in charge. So just let me do that thing.
It was a good way for like people to learn more about the different provinces, I think, because I thought by that point it was like there's quite a lot that's gone on and they probably are eager for some information. So
some of the things that I as an original reader did not get, okay, now of course my light's gonna be way too bright, so I'm moving it away. We have this lovely diagram at the beginning. You probably can't see it very well other than to see that there's a shape that there's, as D says, a slice of pie. That's the entire area of Concordia there. And it helps to be able to see that. And as an original reader, I didn't get that. And I feel like you put so much in here that makes something that is like has all these pieces, you make it easy enough to follow so that even if you're as dumb as a piss fish, you can follow it rather than be like, I don't understand anything that's happening here.
Well, that's why I think having the physical book is so helpful. Like an e-arc, and it was like a PDF, so it wasn't as easy to flip back to the beginning. Like, if I had the physical book, I would have I know me, because I do book this market. When I read plays, go right back to, like, that list of characters where they belonged and everything like that. And just, or if it was, like, a regular Kindle book, like, just bookmarked it and just, like, kept going back and going, yes.
Well, and I will admit, Frances, I was reading for a friend recently, and she had a lot of characters introduced right away. And I'm like, I can't follow all this. I'm dumb, and I don't do well with big casts. And I said, and because I was rereading your book, I said, what my friend does here is brilliant because the way you introduce everybody, you give everybody these visual clues that help. And I'm like, well, but she also cheats because there's these animals and the animals help so much. Cause like we're saying, okay, each one has like an animal that represents their province. And then what they're wearing at that first costume party, D is a piss fish. So he's wearing scales. Now, originally he's not, but he's reveals to scales, but you've got people who are dressed with the colors or something like the spider. I don't have a spider toy. Oddly, actually, I do. No. I have Lucas the spider. I should have brought in Lucas. Wearing a crown. Not, it probably wasn't this one. But with like the eyes of a spider. Okay, those are spider legs that help you remember, okay, this person's there. They're like this. Their name is from here. This is what their province. I still want to call it other things. So let me change it. But I'm going to call it province. Things get edited in books from the first time you read it that helps you remember who everybody is. And
it definitely helped me. Because even when I kept interchanging a couple characters' names, but then I was like, wait, no, I just have to remember you're a spider.
That was, without a doubt, the hardest chapter I've written in my life in any book. That chapter. It was just a monster of a chapter to have to introduce like 11 characters and knowing that you do have to remember who they are. You can't just be like, and there was a crowd and they were there.
Yeah, there was a crowd and yes. There was a spider. There was a blah, blah.
You've got to give them all some moment, even if it's like quick. So some of them are combined. Like that chapter went through so many edits and it is the longest chapter in the book, but it's like, well, it needs to be. Sometimes it just needs to be a long chapter.
Well, it was long, but the way you did that, because you didn't introduce them as a crowd. It's like he comes in and he sees this person and he interacts with this person. And in that interaction, you know a little bit about them, a little bit about what their province is, because each one of them, like in that pie slice, there are upper provinces and there are lower provinces. And D is definitely not from one of the upper provinces. So it's like you're rooting for the underdog just to start. And when you're meeting like these different people and what their role is, because it's like they're a confederacy. I don't mean to say confederacy. Like they're the South.
Yeah, I'm like, don't say that.
Well, I was trying. It's hard because they're like a confederation of places that sort of are independent, but sort of aren't. So it's not like they're the states. You know, it's a little different than that. They're kind of like the EU, but not
it's
exactly
like states under an empire. Like
yes, yeah.
They each have their own leader, which sort of can. Has power over that province, but ultimately they all answer to the dragon emperor. So there is somebody in charge of everything.
Yeah, Jennifer's rocking her dragon empress hair, a la Eudora.
So my hair over the past couple months has been a variety of shades of like blue and teal. I bought, once I realized that like the dragon, her empress hair was like green, I immediately... Like the day I started reading the book, which was 2 days ago, went on Amazon and like ordered rush shipment for an emerald green thing for my hair. But because it's already blue and we were about to go live and I have to work this weekend in public, I was like, do I mess with my hair by putting this over?
I don't even know what that would do.
I don't know either.
I'll find out.
I had a stress dream about it last night. So that's when I stopped. I said, no, I'm not going to wake up early and do it. Because in my dream, I was going live on the show with like patchy hair and not a good way.
Because mine's patch purple. Like the purple's almost gone. You can barely see it. But no, because of how I applied it, it was almost only around my face and mostly just stuck to my scalp. So now it's back and I'll have...
I mean, mine's only stuck to my scalp and in my gray hair. So people are like, I love the blue highlights. I'm like, thank you. That's where my hair is gray.
It works. But I was saying just like the whole, each person having their own little interaction helps so much. And as a writer, you handle that so beautifully because all of us, I mean, I've talked a lot about the rule of five and you violate the rule of five so badly here, but it still works because the rule of five, and I'm not the one who made it up, but I've shared it widely because a lot of people don't know it. And then when they hear it, they go, yeah, that's true. Is that readers can really only take five of something at a time. So whether it's like place names or people names or whatever, we can't handle more than five. And you cheat by doing this because first off, we meet D in a first chapter with, you know, he's out and about and causing trouble at a food carnival, as you do, because I love that. And it just lets us know who he is and know what his issues are. And he's got a lot of them.
And he had to have his own chapter.
He deserves it because he's our main character and we're all team pissfish. And then he comes.
I'm kind of team grasshopper though too.
Well, like, we're also team grasshopper.
I was just like, D's my favorite, D's my favorite. And then I met grasshopper and I was just like, what the balls? I need the whole, I would have liked weirdly a chapter from her POV, even though it made no sense at all. So if you have a Patreon or anything like that, release a chapter. I would subscribe to your Patreon if there was a grasshopper chapter or like a little, because I would just love to see the world from her 6-year-old manic, crazy. Because she's not just a 6-year-old. She's bonkers.
She may have
endured
a little bit of life trauma before she got to this point. So there is that. So Frances,
she reminded me of Delirium from The Endless, from Sandman, Neil Gaiman. So just like saying all the things. So people are like getting back to it.
Like, what? No, but okay. So we didn't want to spoil who has what blessings, but we said we could talk about grasshoppers because it's revealed right away what she does.
Yeah.
Can I say that? So she turns invisible and she pops in and out. So like when we first meet her, everybody's like, where is she? Like people are calling her that gremlin. And then, you know, she's like running around eating candy and trying to climb out of the ship. Like, do you blame her? Do you blame her? Like, everybody there is 20 or older or close to it. And she's 6 without her parents and stuck on this boat. And I'd be like, I'm leaving this boat too.
Really horrible.
They're horrible to her.
Nobody else can go on apart from the Blessed and obviously these dragon servers. But so she's, because she's coming to her blessing, which is like the final thing that needed to happen for this journey to happen. She's just sort of,
she's like tossed onto this carnival cruise from hell.
Pretty much. But, yeah, I would love to read
these
chapter.
People are, yeah.
It would be funny to read from her perspective while invisible, because she can see and do all this stuff. Like I would totally read a grasshopper chapter of things that grasshopper didn't know that, or like you didn't know that grasshopper knew. And she's like,
yeah, like what did grasshopper see when everyone's like, oh, thank God she's not around right now. Make out session with blah, blah, blah. And poor grasshopper's like, what? And I feel like there's a lot we could go to with terrible puns with like to love or to eat. Just saying.
Like,
I don't think that's a spoiler.
No.
I think,
well,
that could mean
anything. Says, oh, sometimes things can be both.
Well, yes. And at one point, though, she was eating books. And it's like, grasshopper, no.
I loved when she was eating books. I was like, oh my gosh, is this like a book eater's Easter egg?
I wrote it before I read the book eaters. But
I know.
This was written before Book Eaters came out, but like she's just chomping away. And I don't think she was doing it for anything other than like, why not?
You know, you're 6. And also, I eat to be emotionally comforted. And as a 6-year-old with no, I know, saints, a 6-year-old with no like real supervision, who's to say what's food?
Yeah, supervision
is magic.
Who is obsessed with food and eating food? And
I know. And Dee's like, just like, like, no, don't eat that. Like, it's
he's not bothered. He just lets her have candy floss on.
I love it when he's just like, candy, yes, I'll give you candy. Yes, whatever you need. Well, I'm like, Dee's such an enabler.
Well, yeah, but isn't like their one of their first interactions, she's eating some not so great candy and he pulls something out of his pocket. He's like, well, this is much better. So it's like, don't eat that terrible candy. Eat this good stuff. We're like, all right, yeah, taking candy from strangers, literally in the very
literally.
No one's told us not to do that.
Just like, don't do that.
And you're like, no, it's character building. Another Patreon thing I would read is like Dee and Grasshopper on like a road trip.
God. They're already on a boat.
But it's no, like, just those two. Just those
like,
two.
Kind AU of, like, of the two of them on their own adventure on a motorcycle with like Grasshopper in the sidecar.
Yeah, they're on a food tour through Portugal. Like a fictional Portugal.
fictional Portugal.
Done.
Francis has probably written fictional Portugal because you've written.
Come on, Francis.
Fictional France.
Like, yeah.
Well, and okay, so each of the places, like there were some real, okay, so I'm super scattered. I'm trying to focus my brain. So one of my life's huge disappointments, you have amazing Audible by Nathan Fode from Our Flag Means Death. And because I am a sad American, I can't get it on the American Audible. I was telling my husband, like, if we got that VPN thing, could we fool it into thinking that we're in the UK? And I don't think that would work. I would have to, like, get an Audible UK subscription.
No.
But I asked my library to get it. And
hypothetically.
Hypothetically, you can get it?
Hypothetically, maybe. My husband's family is Russian and they live and die by their VPNs. And he and his family might be able to explain that. Not my husband, of course.
No, Roman would know. You're like, Roman's watching. Wait, what?
He's going to be like, please don't say that on the interwebs.
But I know that. So we talked way long ago as far as Dream and who would do this and that the accents would be very important because certain different places, they don't all sound alike. These are from different places, very diverse.
We've all seen the Great British Baking Show.
Not just that, not just different parts.
Definitely the lower half, I wanted to have like quite distinct accents because that's definitely a thing in the UK where like the... what I would say is sort of like outside of London, more up north and definitely more really down south. They have very distinct accents, whereas the uppers would be more sort of classic, like what do you
classic
call it?
Classic Howard's End nonsense.
A classic sort of posh English voice, most of them anyway. So I sort of like that sort of.
Well, I still think that on the Great British Baking Show, when they bring it over here, they should put under every contestant's name where they're from and what accent they have, because it would be very helpful to us. Because I'm just like, oh,
yeah, there's literally you can travel a mile and people speak completely different. It's wild.
But
I guess my long list of accents. I've not actually listened yet. Like, but
talented actor Nathan Fode from Our Flag Means Death. Did you do them? And I've heard people say that they're loving it. So whatever they're doing, it's apparently worth a listen. But I personally haven't gotten to listen yet to go, listen to that's how Ravi sounds and that's how Tendai sounds. Oh, Shinjiro sounds really stoned.
Oh my God. Sorry, you're mentioning names and I'm like, hold on, my props.
It's like, Ravi. Here's Shinjiro. The butterfly who has special stuff in his tea, but apparently only the monks get special stuff in their tea, which is really unfair of them.
I wanted to ask before we ended about the special tea. Are we thinking that is, of course, it's fictional? Is it, I mean, it's microdosing of some kind? Is it closer to microdosing of cannabis or microdosing towards mushrooms?
Oh my God.
Well, okay, he seems
it's calming, put it that way. It won't make, it's meant to like chill.
Yeah, I know, but both in like the wrong circumstances are not calming.
Well, you have to be careful as a monk. Well, that whole thing
you
is that they maintain their emotions, they try and keep
I'm gonna say it's cannabis.
And I was thinking it's more like opium, but with you, Jed, I've assumed it was laudanum because, like, we have...
No, that's just my book.
Drink the tea. Like, never drink the tea because there's something in the tea. But, you know, I think I've read enough books. No, don't... Yeah.
You don't drink... Everything's bad. If it's a hot beverage and somebody seems a little bit too mellowed out, you just got to go, oh, I see what's happening there.
Well, I was going to say, and it is funny because most of the provinces have an animal, like actual animal, except you've got dragons, which are possibly fictional. There's your dragon. And then the butterflies. So it's like, maybe there is something in that tea that makes them see these things. Like,
I actually had this theory right away that I was like, oh my God, it's just a bunny. And I wanted like somebody else to be like, does he think that thing has wings? That's why I'm like, is it mushrooms or is it something else? Like what? But then I was like, no, it actually has like wings.
And it's on the map. They've got its own little thing.
Oh, maybe it's this. I'm trying to figure out how to make this a bunny.
Also, it has a longer tail, which makes it kind of creepy, like a giant possum or something, like a possum tail.
Well, this dog toy has a much longer. Oh no, that's a leg.
That's a leg. You don't even know. Okay, Yeah. So most of them there, it's just their faces. But yeah, Butterfly, it's like the wings are coming. That okay, my light's brightening.
Tell me where the wings are coming out of.
But it's like right behind its shoulders. It's like up here. It's like this.
Okay.
I don't know.
So this is my dog's toy.
Do it like that.
Two dog's toys. So like yes, this, but I feel like the wings should be bigger.
And the that's ears... sort of like feather wings, so like a bird.
Yeah,
and
the yeah, it needs to be. I did what I could, Frank. This was from my bedroom dog toy box. If I was up at the main dog toy
bedroom
box.
Dog toys. I'm combining those the wrong way, aren't I?
No. So our dog is like the king of our house, Lord Tubby. Yeah, exactly. So he has toy boxes in all of the main living places of the house. Mm-hmm. So, but this is our bedroom and he doesn't play down here that much, though we do have an overflowing toy box, of which I got the dragon, the butterfly. But the tortoise, and I think we might have a spider someplace, are upstairs in the main toy box.
None of you have an ox. You're missing an ox.
I know.
Yeah, we've got a lot of weird animals around here. Like a couple weeks ago, I brought out a stuffed shrimp. We don't have a stuffed ox. I don't.
Yeah, I didn't have an ox. I almost brought down just like a spare set of antlers. But then
why do you have antlers? Okay, no answer to that. That's fair. Okay, so Frances, like, you
why you don't die?
You have this book, which I'm pointing at it instead of holding it again, which just came out. You're working on another book, which is like we were talking this morning. It's going to be even harder to talk about than this one as far as stuff going on.
It does. Oh, can we do a show that's all mime?
Oh, we probably have to
costumes and mime.
Can't talk about that. Can't.
I can talk about the pitch of it, but like when people are going to ask, "Where'd you get the idea?" I'm like,
no idea.
Oh my gosh. How are you? No, now I want to talk about that now, but we won't.
Well, I want to get to read it and then I'll have to try to guess what it is because I'll be like, now I know that there's something that I'll be like looking for and I'll be like guessing and bothering you all the time. Like, is it this? And you're like, no, Allison, it's not. But it could be.
We could do the entire next time you come on the show if we can't do any spoilers, like a game show or like a quiz and somebody asks somebody questions.
You do I get a buzzer?
Like, we'll have buzzers.
Previously, we've been on game shows and had bells.
I know. I was like,
that was like three years ago.
PTSD.
Yeah, that was a long, long time ago. Back in the
before Allison
days.
And I were at a game show and we had to like ring in with something. With
bells. Yeah.
I had a dog squeaker, of
yes,
course.
Yes, you did.
So I was like, just like squeaking. Allison was ringing.
I was ringing a little kid's bell. It was annoying. It was a thing. But anyway.
But yeah, we could do like a password thing where like.
Yeah. Can't say this.
Can't say this, but can say, and I'll be like, oh my gosh, food.
Do you have a date? Because I know that you have a date for when you're supposed to turn in a manuscript to the Amazing People and Michael Joseph Books, but do you have a date for like when it's coming out?
Who knows what's going on with this book?
Like at some point,
who knows what's going on with it? Because, you know,
nobody. I don't know.
At the moment.
For what?
She's writing it.
I'm writing
it. Well, I know you're writing it, but I mean, like, I would like...
Look, the writers are the last to know what's happening.
I know.
But basically, this is a fancy murder mystery. It's a sort of a fancy escape room, I would say. It's
fancy escape room.
Yeah, a load of...
I love that.
I'm not even saying... Without their body parts. What we're calling it. I'm not saying... anything other than you're writing it and that I know that you're not quite done because I haven't gotten to read it yet and I want it.
No.
Yeah. No pressure.
So, yeah, it's a bunch of kids without the memory wake up also missing body parts and they have to
yes. maze
and complete oh impossible tasks to sort of escape.
1,000% on board with that.
Yeah, it's a bit more horror than this one.
You think?
I mean... You had me at missing body parts and a maze. I was just
some of the books that you were reading to be getting yourself in the headspace for that were a bit more horror than maybe your usual fare. And then I was reading at the end of this book where you have your acknowledgments and saying something along the lines of, like, thank you for your dad for not hiding the books in the house very well, so that you were stumbling upon things like Stephen King at a young age. And I think that that just describes all of our parents who didn't do a good enough job hiding their adult books from their young children, or who are like, oh, what's this?
Is this book about a cat? No, that's Pet Cemetery.
Yeah, I can't stop reading. I literally remember reading. I think it was Misery, actually. Was it Misery or Talisman? There was one of them that I read. And then I was like, wait, you can hurt your characters really bad. And it feels really good to read because it makes people care. And I was like, okay, I'm going to hurt all my characters from now on.
Yeah.
And that was how it began.
As a little kid, when I found Pet Cemetery, my uncle was staying with us. And I saw a book with a cat on it. And I thought, oh my gosh, grown-up books about cats. Very quickly realized it was not for children.
No.
Hid it in my dollhouse, would read it every day during nap time. And I was like, you can be petrified and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I was born. Persona. I was like, my entire life formed in that moment. And I'm like, that's what I want to do. I want people to be really sad and petrified.
There you go.
Chef's kiss. Just what my agent wants me to be talking about. She's like, oh, really sad and petrified. No. But yeah, Missing Body Parts. Love it. Maze, Body Parts, Missing, Keywords.
I think I got to read the very, very first chapter at one point.
Yeah, you did, so to be fair.
Yeah, and I already am in love with the characters that you've introduced thus far, and I'm like cheering you on. And I know you've had, like, launching a book has kept you a little busy. Like, there was a lot of discussion about cake. And so if you haven't seen the pictures of the cake that Frances had at the launch, I'm just like, that cake is bleeding, just like your book.
Love it.
Because, you know, you didn't pull any punches. And it's not just, I can't give anything away in the book, but people don't just die in this book. They suffer, which is even better. Because, you know,
you make me sound like a maniac, but
this is not Red Dragon. So
no, it's not
so
that
I don't
bad.
Want people to like be like, oh no.
Nah.
Yeah, it's not that.
No, like, it's not gruesome or anything.
So as somebody who, like, and this is, again, it makes me sound like a psycho, loves murder, loves weird murder, loves missing body parts, loves all of that. I don't love gore. No. I love my imagination to, like, do all of the most horrifying things. But I do love a good introduction to something really screwed up. So thank you, because I loved all of the deaths in your book.
Good deaths.
Really good deaths. And I have a really high bar for deaths. I'm like, after once we're not live, which will be in like a few seconds, I'm going to just tell you my favorite death, but I'm not going to do it live because it will be kind of a spoiler.
A huge so spoiler any hoops, show. We will.
I know.
Because we've gone like almost an hour and we're not supposed
to do that. Almost an hour. I know. We're not supposed to do that.
Shh. Be good.
I know, like, who's telling us that?
Nobody anymore.
Nobody. I know, but it's good to keep them, you know. Somewhat. Never mind, this is perfect. Somewhat.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're good. Yeah, unless there's like 4 bottles of whiskey, which has happened.
That's also then when our guests get up and say, I gotta go take a leak and leave and come back again. It happens. It's fine. It's all good.
It's all good. And that's what's gonna happen on the cosplay episode. Probably, which will also be mime.
A mime cosplay game show where we're also eating the whole time.
That we yes. Yeah, that'll have to be a Sunday afternoon episode.
We're not driving.
Where nobody's driving.
Like, early in the day, because Frances is 8 hours ahead of me. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I know, and I'm like Abigail, actually, you are often up way too late. I'm like, why are you still, like, I'll message you and I'll be like, why are you still awake? Go to bed, friend. Yes, mom. But then
you go too early. So
I know. You're like, what are you doing up? I'm like, kids were loud.
I know. Allison gets up too early. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I do. It's not by choice. It's not. It's all good.
Any hoops. Voyage of the Damned.
One more.
Find out what all of this means.
Yes.
Dragon
and I will
hair.
Continue on my quest to get it in the local library. So you guys, do you know you can go and request books be bought to your libraries. You just have to ask. And they may or may not do it, but it's
really we don't know. That's an experiment at the moment. But you definitely can order from Waterstones, Blackwell's, or Amazon UK to get a physical copy in the US. But
and you can even order a physical copy from Amazon in the US.
Yeah. I don't know how they're getting it. Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm like, I don't know where they're getting them from, but they.
I don't know where they're getting back of a truck somewhere, but you can. The shipping time is just longer.
Yes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
But you can get a physical copy. You just can't get an e-copy right now. But the physical copy, that's what you're going to want because it has a map. It has a character.
And it's very pretty.
And it's so pretty. So thank you so much, Frances, for being here with us and celebrating the Voyage of the Damned. We are back in 2 weeks. I always look at Allison. I'm like, 2 weeks. I know we have two guests in two weeks.
Two guests. Ed and
two
Lynn.
Weeks, two guests.
We have books to read.
Oh my God. I know. I was like, woo. So we've got some books to read. Thank you, everybody. And we will see you soon.